As we get started this morning, we've got this illustration that's kind of going to be the basis of the next 5 weeks, and we really want you to just think through the reality of what we're talking about. And Butch is helping me this morning, and if you notice, Butch is carrying his stuff up here, and Butch has got some things that look like presents. And we all do this. We all have things that we carry around, and sometimes we neatly wrap them. They may smell, they may be nasty, but we hold on to them because they're ours. And so what we want to do is we're going to reinforce this all throughout the week as well, but we want you to just consider that God has a great gift. Hey, Butch, did you want to just at least consider this? Okay. But do you believe it? Do you believe it? Okay. All right. Cool. So did you get the first response is intellectual belief. But I just want you to notice something. Butch was checking things out, but he walked on. He had intellectual belief, but he didn't make it his own. And there's a lot of people that have grown up in church and intellectually they get it, but they haven't made. Are you back? So you love another gift from God?
Yes.
Okay, so you want me to just add to your stack? Okay, all right, cool. So thank God for that baby step. He's embraced that gift. He's doing something with it. But I want you to look up here real quick because these are the three responses that I want you to check out this morning. You can acknowledge the gift, which is just intellectual belief. You can make it just another thing. And this is what I see a lot of people doing in our culture. Just to add Jesus to my toolbox. Just another thing. Stack it on. Or exchange and embrace. Hey, Butch, how's this been working out for you? Really? Okay, cool. You know that God's got something greater for you. Okay. So are you ready? Okay. So I want you to pay attention here. So Butch is now ready to lay down his stuff, his gifts, and then Butch is now going to he's going to do this gift exchange for what God has provided for him. And what is the first gift that we're going to be talking about today? So we want you to think about this. All of us do this in our lives. And Pastor Chris is going to come, and he's going to open up the living word of life to us and help us understand this first Sunday, the gift of forgiveness. And then he's going to show you these gifts, just a sampling of the things that we hold on to instead of embracing forgiveness.
Yeah. If you have your copy of God's Word, go ahead and join me in John chapter 8. That's where we're going to be. So while you're turning there, I'm going to move these really quickly so I can see my friends over there. Nene and Annie Grace. But also so we don't have something awkward between us. So. But I'm going to pray, and then we're going to get into God's Word. So God, we thank you. God, thank you for seeing and knowing every single one of us. And we thank you for the gift of your Word. It meets us exactly where we are, and it shows us a better and different way forward. And so I pray that all of us would begin to get to the spot where we will allow you to do and to say whatever it is that you need to do and say in us. God, we give you permission. Heal us, reveal things that we've been holding way too long, and help us to experience freedom, forgiveness, redemption, and hope today. So God, it's in your name that we pray. Amen. Amen. So every single week, just like Pastor Tim and Butch just walked through, we're going to be focusing in on one gift in particular. So this week, we're going to be focusing in on the gift that God is offering to us, which is forgiveness. All right, forgiveness. So this is on offer for us to be able to receive and embrace. But with that, just as Butch was carrying around all of these boxes, we're going to just get us to begin thinking, this visual to get us thinking, there are things that we carry that we need to lay down. right? And so we're going to give four-ish ideas so that we can see all of the things that we carry that we need to lay aside so we can truly embrace what God is offering. Okay, and so this week, the things that we carry around are sin. Okay, we did this last time, Chris, and I need to adjust. This is difficult to turn them like this. It's okay, I'll do it. I'm just admitting that it's probably even good for the illustration. This is hard to carry all this. All right, so sin. We carry with us sin, all right? Another thing that we carry around that keeps us from embracing forgiveness is guilt and regret. But then on top of that, we're just going to do this. Switch them. See, like, it's hard to carry all this. But then we carry with us addiction and then shame. So addiction, shame, sin, and regret or guilt. So we carry all these things with us. Every single one of us. So don't get yourself thinking that you're immune to this. Man, the Bible tells us that all of us are permeated with all these things. Okay, some of us just learn how to carry it better and disguise it than others. And so the thing that's on offer is that every single one of us have the offer from Christ to be able to lay these things aside, to stop trying to juggle it, to stop being weighed down by the weight of all of these things, and to be able to fully and finally receive forgiveness. But if you just stack it on top and you still carry with you all these things, you don't receive the full forgiveness. You don't receive the weight being lifted off of all of that sin, guilt, addiction, shame, regret being lifted that Christ wants to take off of you, that he bore on his shoulders on your behalf for you to receive that forgiveness. And so what we're going to do this week, man, we're in John chapter 8, and if you've spent any time with Scripture, you've probably read this part, but we're going to look at a woman who was caught in adultery who was carrying all of these to a point where she couldn't hide it anymore. There before the Lord with all these things just exposed and laid in the open. Then she has the opportunity. Is she going to continue to live a life of carrying these, or is she going to receive the gift of forgiveness? And so in this portion of Scripture, if you're new to the Bible, just want you to know what's going on. And so this is part of Jesus's ministry. And at this point, John is trying to help us understand as readers that what's going on is Jesus is disrupting the religious system of the day. And so the religious leaders, the teachers, the scribes, the people in spiritual authority felt threatened by Jesus. And so during this portion, they're actively trying to do something to discredit Jesus, trying to get him to slip up, to say something in which they can stone him, kill him, get him off of the stage. And so this narrative is a little narrative in the middle of that, which shows everything. It shows their scheme. It shows their heart. It shows that they care about themselves, not about the people that they were called by God to serve. And the very things in which they are trying to trip up Jesus, Jesus actually flips it around and they begin to actually be exposed by their own condemnation. And so we're going to step in to this woman who was caught in adultery. And so if you have your copy of the Word, read along with me. If not, you can follow along on the screens behind me. But John chapter 8, starting in verse 1. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Early in the morning, he came again to the temple. All the people came to him, and he sat down and he taught them. The scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery. And placing her in the midst, they said to him, "Teacher, this woman has been caught in the act of adultery. Now in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such a woman. So what do you say?" This they said to test him, that they might have some charge to bring against him. So Jesus bent down and wrote with his finger on the ground. And as they continued to ask him, He stood up and he said to them, "Let him who is without sin among you be the first to throw a stone at her." And once more he bent down and he wrote on the ground. But when they heard it, they went away one by one, beginning with the older ones. And Jesus was left alone with the woman standing before him. Jesus stood up and said to her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" She said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go, and from now on sin no more." So breathe. That's a deep breath moment. That's heavy. That's weighty, right? And so what's going on there, right? So Jesus at this point has been getting a huge following. He's been teaching and telling everybody about the kingdom of God. So where he went, people followed, right? So he went to the temple and he just begins teaching about the kingdom of heaven. He's talking. People want to hear. What does he have to say? So he's in the temple and then what happens? Right? The religious leaders bust in, right? And they bring this woman who was caught in the act of adultery in the middle of this sanctuary and say, "Yo, what do you do with this woman?" And so again, feel this. It is as if somebody would bust in the doors behind Bob and Frank and bring somebody and just throw her in the middle and be like, "Yo, what are we supposed to do with her? What are we supposed to do with him?" Right? So in this context, that's weird, right? That's odd. If you're in a place in which that is normal, that's weird and we need to talk. But that's just weird in the context, in the setting. That's just weird. And that's an exposing factor on the heart of the religious leaders and the people trying to condemn, right? And so what's the purpose of that? They're trying to trip up Jesus, right? They told us that they're trying to trip him up, that he would say something wrong, that they could discredit him, right? So these people are objectifying this woman in order to try to just do something to Jesus. So I need you to begin, man, put yourself in the shoes of this woman. Right? So suddenly, this woman doesn't have the ability to hide any of her sin anymore. I mean, she's naked, caught in the act. She can't deny it. You can't explain it away. So sin exposed, put on blast. Guilt and regret. Imagine what she's feeling right there in that moment. But often, man, personalize this. Think it probably wasn't just a one-time action that she engaged in. This was probably a habitual lifestyle, which is why the crooked religious leaders knew where to go to find her, right? And so oftentimes when people are stuck in cycles of sin, man, don't we carry with us guilt and regret? This feeling of, man, I feel horrible for what I'm doing, and I feel horrible for the life that could have been. I regret the decisions I've made that I can't take back anymore, right? Addiction, man. She could have just been stuck in this cycle that she didn't feel like there was any other way of life. Stuck there. This addiction is just put on blast in front, and then shame. Right? This woman before the Lord, you can't tell me she wasn't filled with shame. Right? And all of this, not just in front of random people, which would be horrible, but in front of the people that lived in her town, in front of her friends, her family. But then who also was there? God himself. And so this woman had this massive moment of exposure where she can't explain away her sin as just this small little thing. She can't act like the guilt and regret doesn't bother her. She can't act like she's not addicted when she really is. And she can't act like she's not ashamed and feeling horrible for what she's doing. She's standing before the living God. And so what does she feel? I mean, could you imagine? What does the biblical text make us feel if we're just going off of this, that she deserves. What the religious leaders were asking. Yo, she deserves death. Jesus, what should we do? I love our Lord. Because what do you know about Jesus? What does the rest of Scripture tell us about Jesus? How infuriated must have our Lord been by those religious leaders? So the emotional intelligence of him to be able to just stoop to the floor and write whatever he's writing. And let them just keep, yo, answer us, answer us, answer us. And he answers when he's ready. And he's like, you know what? Let's deal with the sin in the room. So you want me to deal with her, but I'm going to deal with y'all. So you want me to judge sin? How about yours, homie? You got sin? Anybody here that's sinless, man, let's go ahead. Let's do it. And so what does everybody do? They end up leaving. And so now not only are the accusers, are they leaving? Not only is the crowd that was there listening to Jesus, they all left. And so now it's just Jesus and this woman having to respond. And so how does God respond? He gets her to stand up. She's ashamed. She's naked. Does that make you think of anywhere else in the Bible? The garden, right? The very first sin, exposed before God. All your faults, all your fears, regret, shame, addiction, everything is exposed, and God sees her. And what is his response? Where are the people that were yelling at you? She says, they're gone, Lord. And he says, okay, well, neither do I condemn you. And now what? What's the response? He says, hey, if you'll lay all this down and receive this forgiveness, neither do I condemn you. If you receive this forgiveness, what does he say? Leave your junk, now go and sin no more. Leave changed. Exchange your junk for my forgiveness and live changed. God's posture has always been love, but we feel like it's not. We allow all these things to be able to skew and to distort and to inform our mind about how God's going to view us, and that causes us to then act like sin isn't that big of a deal. That's not as big as the person that's sitting next to me right now. Guilt and regret, yeah, you know, it could have been better, but that's okay. I'll just sin more so I don't feel this. Then all of a sudden this sin then turns into this addiction that you can't shake anymore, and you just continually go back to it. It's this habitual master that you feel stuck in, and now all of a sudden every time that you're doing pretty good and then you fall back in, you just feel shame. It just keeps you where you're at. Anybody feel that? Like, what's the invitation of the Messiah? The invitation is, man, lay that down so that what? You can actually receive, to embrace this forgiveness, to allow this forgiveness to define you so that this doesn't define you anymore. But you have to lay this aside so you can hold on to the forgiveness. Right? And so, every single one of them responded. And so, Catherine, do you mind putting up that one from the beginning? If you notice, Pastor Tim and Butch helped us understand, man, there's three responses we're going to go back to every single week. And we see all three of these responses in the text here. And so what that tells us is that every single one of us here now are going to make one of these three responses. Okay, and it's our heart's desire that it would be number three, that we would exchange and embrace, right? But listen, how did the accusers, how did they respond? They saw the offer of forgiveness from Jesus. They saw it. They're like, what do I do with that? So they acknowledged the offer of forgiveness. And that's all they did. And they walked away, unchanged. corrupt, filled and ruled by sin, shame, guilt, and addiction. They acknowledged it. They're like, dang. They walked away. Then the crowd, what did they do? The crowd, man, it doesn't say that anybody else came to Jesus and were like, yo, I want that forgiveness for me. But the crowd, they noticed it. They looked upon this forgiveness of Jesus and they just, wow, when I need that, when my life gets really bad, I'll embrace that. I'll just add that to the stack. I'll add that fact about God so that when I really need it. They saw it. They didn't receive it themselves. They just saw it. It was just another thing. And then the woman, man, before God, and she had the opportunity to exchange all of this to receive forgiveness. And so that's the same for you and for me. The offer is the same. Right? The offer is the same. And the question is, how are you going to respond? Right? How are you going to respond to what Christ is offering you today? And the beautiful thing is that God's response is always love. God's response is forgiveness. We feel like we're not good enough, like we're the exception to the rule. You're not the exception, all right? This is a beautiful thing to be able to know that you're just not that special, all right? You're beautiful. But guess what? You're not an exception to God's grace. He loves you. You don't have too much sin or guilt or regret or addiction or shame for him to be able to forgive you. Listen, and here's the powerful thing, is that in this room right now, you just might be the woman, right? And so guess what happens? If you respond even yet today and you exchange that, I guarantee you what's going to happen is that other people are going to then see your faith and then desire that too. And so what we're desiring to be is we are not a church family that we stand as a bunch of accusers, that we look at the person that is acknowledging their sin and we point our fingers at them. No, we get down on the floor and we weep with them. We cry with them. We pray for them. We rejoice at the fact that they are rejecting all these things and turning to Jesus for forgiveness. And so, man, what is stopping you from laying all this down and receiving the forgiveness? Are you going to be like a Pharisee where you just acknowledge it? This is the crappy thing about what we're talking about right now, is that every single one of us is making a response. So you're going to walk out here like a Pharisee. You're just like, okay, that was cool. You're going to walk out here like somebody in the crowd where you just like, okay, I learned something about God today. Or we're going to respond like the woman and be like, yo, you know what? I'm sick of the way that I've been living. Jesus, I want more. I'm sick of carrying and juggling all this weight of what happened to me when I was a child and allowing that to inform me. I want to lay that shame aside. I'm sick of the regret fueling the way that I father. I'm not going to allow regret to hold me back anymore, but I want this forgiveness to mark the way that I father. I'm not going to allow the sin of the way that this relationship that I'm currently in is going. Man, there is weight to what we're talking about. But whatever it is that is standing between you and coming to the Lord, the exchange is worth it. If you have to go through some living changes because you're in a relationship that is not God's design right now and you need to live separately until you get married, then go do it. We'll stand by you. We'll figure it out. Walk without the sin, guilt, addiction, and shame. Walk in the forgiveness of the Lord, and we're going to do this together. If you've been allowing that sexual sin habit to just kick you in the tail, then man, let's repent today. Let's lay that aside. And then we're going to find you some brothers or some sisters to walk in community, because these are not going to define us as a Mountain View family anymore. Forgiveness is. And so what is it that's holding you back? The Messiah is standing there and he said, yo, who's here to condemn you? Stand up. I love you. Gives you a hug. Says, now go, let's live different. Let's live different. You see, we allow shame to hold us back so much. And as I close, man, I just want to read 2-3 verses in Colossians chapter 2. This is The beautiful thing is that that woman, she could have allowed the shame of the accusers of the Pharisees to be able to just bury her. But this is the truth from Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 through 15. It says this, it says, "And you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all," how much? "All of our trespasses, by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands." So pause. So what's going on there? Because of your faith in Jesus, what happens? You get forgiveness of everything you've done. So God doesn't just belittle the penalty that is due for you. But what happens? Man, Christ bore that junk on the cross. And what he's saying is, man, the penalty, the slate is laid clean. That's why we have a cradle and a cross here. The reason for the cradle was always the cross. Christ came and he nailed all that stuff to the cross, all of its legal demands, which is what? Death. He nailed it to the cross, right? So now where does the shame come from, right? We think that the shame, it's just going to be so embarrassing if I come forward and I ask for prayer. It's going to be so embarrassing. There's going to be so much shame. Well, listen, look who God flips the shame on. Verse 15. "And he disarmed the rulers and authorities, and he put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him." What's that mean? The very forces of evil that are trying to keep you in your seat from responding to the gospel, the good news of Jesus today, they're the ones that Christ put to shame. They're the ones that need to cower. They are the ones that need to live based off of regret and fear and shame because of the power of the cross. So we're going to sing a song of celebration. That's what we're going to do. We're going to celebrate the fact that we have been redeemed. If you have put your faith in Jesus, then you are forgiven! Exclamation point. So we're going to celebrate that. But it doesn't mean that we still don't carry with us some of this. And so if you need to just make space right where you are and just sit and just pray, then you pray. You sit down and pray. And if somebody's sitting down and praying right next to you, then you sit down and just pray. You don't have to talk to them, just pray. Talk to God on their behalf. If you need to come forward and you need to just make this space your space where you just cry out to God, or you need prayer from somebody, we'll meet you. We'll pray with you. The question is, man, how are you going to respond? Do you want to keep carrying all this, or are you willing to exchange this to embrace what Christ has done? I promise you, the exchange is always worth it. So let's embrace the Lord as our Messiah today. And so, God, I pray for every single one of us. I pray that you would give us the ability to be able to not care about the people around us, not care about all the things that might happen because of our repentance, but just to be more in awe and more aware of you, that we just respond to you knowing that you are a loving Father. I pray that you would create that sensitivity within us, that anything that would be keeping us from walking in the fullness of what you've called us to be needs to be laid aside so we can be all that you've created us to be. And so, Father, where there is sin, I pray that you would help us have a sensitive heart to be able to repent at even the smell of sin within us. Father, where shame has been defining our every moment, our every thought, I pray that it would be destroyed right now and that we would be able to receive the love of the Father like never before. Where regret and guilt are just plaguing us, I pray that we would begin to allow those things to just strip away and we see who we are through your eyes. And Father, may addictions dismantle in this very moment because we understand they've lost their power at the cross. So help us to be a people that care more about you than what other people think. That we want to be the people that respond to who you are calling us to be. Thank you for your forgiveness and your embrace. In your name we pray. Amen.